Welcome back to the Bob Pritchard Straight Talking Radio Show. This is where we give you an insight into the lives of some of the world's most interesting business people. We talk about the services they provide and what makes them tick. You know, it's extremely difficult to create a successful business, and we all need all the help we can get. And that's why it's so important to surround yourself with mentors, people who have been there and done that and can help you not to make the same mistakes that everybody makes, and also to have great board members, people across the spectrum. You know, you need somebody to advise you in legal, you need somebody to advise you, depending on what your business is, in all the various disciplines that you may, that you will need to be successful. And a few years ago, I had the great fortune to meet Mari Wickett and her husband in England, and they had developed an amazing technology to collect, to generate and then collect power. Now, we see lots of discovery or inventions that claim to do that, but this is really remarkable. And we've remained friends over those years, and this incredible piece of technology is called the WITT, W-I-T-T. Basically, the WITT's capable of collecting energy from naturally occurring motional energy, whether it be in water, whether it's sea or river or tidal, from wind, or from just movement by an animal or a person. So as you move, or as the water moves, or wind, or whatever it is, or in Los Angeles from earthquakes, it collects energy from chaotic movement in any direction. So it can be clockwise, it can be anti-clockwise, it could be up or down or back and forth, it doesn't matter which direction anything's moving, it collects this energy and turns it into usable power. Now, that's pretty clever. And if you have a look at these things, they're all constant. You know, they're happening all the time. It's not like solar panels that only work during the time when it's sunny. This works all the time. And the units can be built from the size of a walnut, really small, to power small things, like, for example, your cell phone, for example, up to ginormous, big as a room, that could power a ship or all sorts of things. So it is very cool. And the business opportunities with WITT, they're extraordinary. And it'll advance this renewable energy market for both industrial and consumer markets. I love this thing. Solar energy doesn't work 24 hours a day, and it struggles in the northern hemisphere where the weather's always lousy. It doesn't work that well. Wind energy is directionally dependent, and existing energy devices have all sorts of issues. You're always hearing about the issues. And I went out to Palm Springs the other day, and seeing, you know, 2,000 wind turbines or whatever there is, it's ugly. And most of them sit there, not spinning, not turning, not doing anything, not generating any power. The WITT device harnesses motional energy from any direction and then converts that into electricity. Now, this is not just any invention. The WITT has won 12 awards and grants in the last couple of years, totaling over £700,000. That's well over $1 million this week. These include the Ocean Exchange Gulfstream Leap to Zero Award, the Smart Grant Development Awards from the UK Technology Strategy Board, SBRI Project Awards relating to the implementation in light rail, and also the Collaborative Grant Funding. So the WITT's a big deal, and it's recognised around the world. Now, Mari, my friend, is the CEO of WITT Energy, and I'm pleased to welcome her to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show, broadcast around the world now for the last 4 years. Hi, Mari, how are you?
Hi, Bob. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. So whereabouts in the UK are you right now?
We're actually in Coventry at the minute because we've got interest with the Proving Factory and the Tata Group. So that's, we've been in meetings all day. So I had to break to speak to my friend.
So you're looking for a joint venture partner or somebody that will fund the development, or an investor that'll come along and say, I love this technology.
Absolutely. Basically, what we've done is we've done this in a very methodical way. We've actually, as a small company, built up a strong team. We've actually patented the technology. We've had feasibility reports, marketing reports. We've built boardroom demonstrators. We've attached it to an off-the-shelf generator. We have energy graphs. We've actually done it in a process to say that this isn't just on the back of a fag packet, so to speak. We've actually said, we are going to prove to you that this technology is a game changer and it has global potential. Now we need to take that quantum leap and find some great company that say, we can build these, we can mass produce these, we can actually change the way that we look at harvesting energy. This will have massive repercussions in developing countries. Imagine if you had a WIT in a backpack and you were walking 10 miles to school and you could actually harvest all of that emotional energy and actually have not only charging up your mobile phone, but enough to have LED lighting in your house so that you can continue to study. This has so much implications in marine. The marine sector for navigational buoys, yachts, autonomous vessels, tsunami warnings, desalination units. Bob, it's a massive, massive market.
I get it. I get it. I do. Now, you won a whole bunch of awards, as I mentioned before. Can you tell us, what was the most rewarding of those wins?
I think, without a shadow of doubt, being invited out to Ocean Exchange in Savannah. Basically, it's an awesome organisation looking up to clean our oceans and doing something that's going to protect our planet for generations to come. We applied for Ocean Exchange, and I think there was thousands of applicants, and we felt our chances were astonishingly slim. When we got down to the final 10, they flew us over to Savannah. We presented in the World Trade Center. I think it was 600 world delegates. It was an awesome experience, and we won. And they said, you know, Joe Lombardo, the Senior Vice President of General Dynamics, said this is the most exciting technology. And we won a $100,000 prize. That was a game-changing moment, because people actually said, this is a technology that has to get out there. It really has got this amazing potential of changing people's lives. The energy that is all around us, all of it, not just up and down as point absorbers, every single bit of motion, we can take that and we can actually have a totally green solution.
When you get people like General Dynamics saying how good your product is, I mean, that's worth gold, isn't it? Absolutely
it is.
Worth gold.
Absolutely. I nearly kissed the man. Poor Joe, he gave us the award, and I nearly gave him a good snog.
Now, you've won these awards because you've obviously got something that other energy solutions don't have. So, is the main reason that it's better than other energy harvesting technologies simply the fact that it works in every direction of motion, or what's your value proposition?
Basically, everything else that's out there has actually been able to do what is normally called point absorbers, which is up and down, or some of them are back and forth. When Morton actually invented this, he's an engineer to his fingertips, and he was fascinated about doing something that is extremely difficult to come up with a solution. And it's bidirectional to rotation on two axes. So that means no matter what the motion is, if it's a very slow motion, it will turn the flywheel slowly. If it gets chaotic motion, it responds to chaotic motion. And then basically all of that motion is actually turned into usable power. Now that's got implications for the MOD, the Department of Defense, security. Just imagine it in lifeboats, imagine it in anything to do with marine safety. Anywhere there is motional energy, we can harvest all of it. So it's an affordable solution in taking the energy that is all around us that hasn't been able to be captured before. That's what we've actually resolved.
All right. I made myself a note last night. I thought of something brilliant that this technology would be great for, and I just can't find the piece of paper in front of me at the moment. But I'm searching. I'm searching. So what's the most attractive part of this commercial? Is it the cost of harvesting the energy, the fact that you can harvest energy 24/7? Is it the fact that there's no carbon emissions, or is it some other benefit? What's the major attraction of this against, say, other energy harvesting solutions?
Well, I think the fact that it is a green solution. It's a transmission. It's a unique transmission, but it is a transmission nonetheless. So it can be built in factories. It can be mass-produced globally. It could be licensed out. So you could have franchise. You could actually license it for particular applications, because someone that wants a solution to charge a mobile phone is maybe not interested in large-scale marine renewables. What we believe is that we are actually paying something back. It probably sounds incredibly corny, but when you actually have a technology, and you told me very, very clearly, Bob, at the beginning, if you think your technology is global, treat it as global from day one. Don't plan to build 50 of them. I never forgot that piece of advice, and we felt the same from day one. But what we need to do now is we need to engage with somebody that has the wherewithal to optimize this, to not just make it good, but to make it absolutely the best, so it will be a fit and forget solution. That would mean that it could be in an ocean environment with no maintenance at all, no maintenance needed for years upon years. It could actually provide a solution to so many different scenarios. But unless we have someone that works with us to optimize it, build it to the best it can be, enclose it in a sealed sphere, and actually provide solutions, affordable solutions. Can you imagine having a 1 meter sphere round an island in, say, Indonesia? That will provide power for desalination. That will change people's lives. That's what it needs to be. We need to see the bigger picture.
Yeah, I've always believed that it's just as easy, or just as hard, whichever way you look at it, to do the impossible as it is to do the difficult. If you're going to become a runner, you want to make sure you're aiming to break the world record. There's no point in trying to be the best person on your block. If you're going to do it, and you're going to do it seriously,
This is the road less traveled, Bob. This is the road less traveled.
What's the issue with how big an issue? I mean, everybody talks about it, but commercially, how big an issue is the zero carbon emissions? I mean, everybody pays it lip service and says, you know, we have to cut carbon emissions, but nobody ever seems to do it. What's the
I think you're right, Bob. Everybody talks about this, and we talk the talk all the time, but basically, everybody needs to be more aware of what they're doing to the planet. I'm not saying that wacky things haven't happened to the planet before, but the way the population size and the way we're growing, we need to find ways of using the energy that we've got in this planet and find a way of harvesting that energy in the best possible way. Now, if we can do that with a wet, whether it's small, that as you walk along you charge up your mobile phone, or if you need more power you jump up and down, you would be totally in control of that. You could find out what's happening to endangered species. All of these things, everything to do with the ocean, 70% of our planet is water, and there is no commercial solution yet. It should be simple. It should be the same concept as a paperclip, that a paperclip holds your paper together. We need an energy solution that is clean, that can be dropped into the sea and it harvests energy. They can be put in an array. We could cordon off areas as in parks to cover areas that you didn't want fishing to be disturbing it. There is so many uses of a green technology, and it should be affordable. And that's what we've done. We've done this on a tight budget. We've worked with a tight team of great people, all that feel the same. And we all know that we can actually get the WIT technology out there in a very wide range of applications.
Just talking about cost for a second, you can make them from the size of a walnut, which, one the size of a walnut, how much power would that produce?
Yeah, that's quite small. I've got to say, a walnut is probably, it's only going to be it's going to be a very small water power. It's going to be less than a water power. But the tennis ball size wit that we've just tested, with an off-the-shelf generator, from a bit of walking up and down. Now, Martin's in his 50s, so he wasn't doing a soldier's jog, so you've got to make allowance that it was a gentle walking. And we had peaks of 2.5 watts of electrical power, and we actually reached up to 5 watts of power. Now, that's an awful lot of power from a small wit device. The secret of the wit device is the heavier the pendulums, the more power you will harvest. So if you only needed a couple of watts of power, then a wit the size of a tennis ball will suffice. If you're in an environment that you've got a yacht and that you want to constantly have power for your lighting, your fridge, your, you know, your other equipment, then you could have 2 or 3 wits or one big wit strategically placed where it is most unstable in that vessel, and you would be harvesting energy even when you're actually moored up. So that this,
because of the rocking of the waves, etc.
Exactly.
In a yacht, you rock side to side, but you also rock front to back, don't you? So you
exactly.
And you probably bob up and down as well. So you've got it going in every direction.
You've got it going in all directions. And the only other solutions that they're using on yachts, obviously, is solar panels, which are not very aesthetic. If you've got a very, very beautiful yacht, you probably don't want it to be covered with solar panels. The little wind turbines are also okay, but I gather, I don't know myself because I've not got a yacht, but they make a very funny noise, so that can be restrictive for sleeping and just things like that. So I think it's almost as good as your imagination. If you see a situation and you think, that would collect power, I could use that as a solution. That's what won us Ocean Exchange. We asked people at Ocean Exchange, imagine what this could do. Imagine what we can actually resolve. And I think that's why we won.
Is it a complex piece of, you know, I imagine this thing that's the size of a tennis ball. Inside that, is it very complex?
It's it could be built from off the shelf components. It could be built from that. And so therefore it's actually very achievable to be build it very affordable. But to be truthful, our main aim is to actually engage with a top manufacturing company that actually will build it the best it can be. We want this to be the Rolls Royce or, you know, the Lamborghini of the WIC transmission. We want it to be the best. Then mass production will happen thereafter. That's obvious. But what we aim for is to look for people that really need a solution, that need a constant power without ever having to worry about it, whether it's for ocean studies, whether it's for tsunami warnings, whether it doesn't matter what it is, people want a power solution. And the fact that the WIC will take chaotic motion 24/7 and keep constantly topping up batteries and keep constantly giving you a power source is a really wonderful solution.
So if you've got a yacht and it's a 40-foot yacht, say, how big does the WIC unit need to be to create constant power for something that size? Are we still talking a tennis ball? Are we talking a medicine ball? Or are we now talking half the size of Pluto?
That's a good one. No, basically, let's look at the average sailor. Some people are fair weather sailors, and they only go out on a lovely hot day, and they only want to have enough to power their fridge for the gin and tonic.
Right.
Fair play. That's a couple of watts of power. Easy peasy. If you want to have a scenario that you're a sailor or you're a fisherman and you've been out in all sorts of weather and you want more power than that, basically there is technology out there that actually can tell you where the most unstable part is on any vessel. It was actually designed to find out for seasickness.
Yes.
So that people would know, well, don't sit in that part of the boat or the yacht because that's the most rocky part. And we could fit one wit, we could fit 5 wits, we could fit one large wit in bigger vessels.
So what size are we talking?
I would say for a yacht, if it was me and I had a yacht, I'd probably be placing 3 tennis ball size or maybe grapefruit size. I'm sorry I'm describing in fruit size, but
no,
everybody
right.
then can, everybody
yeah,
can relate to the
it.
Size.
Yeah. Yes, okay.
You can imagine. But say you had, you wanted a constant power source, topping up, constantly topping up, then you'd probably aim for probably having 3 grapefruit size whips in your yacht. The yachts probably are not, funnily enough, the low-hanging fruit on this, Bob, because people that are doing oceanography studies that need to study the ocean, that need to understand what's happening with our climate, the Gulf Stream, algae flow, all of these things, this is data, and if they lose 10 minutes of the data, they have to abandon it. And this information gathering is happening globally to understand what's happening with global warming. So the implications of that has very far-reaching effects. That's very valuable to them. So people that would buy that is probably more important than the person that would buy a lovely luxury add-on for their yacht. So it's, yeah, so basically that's to give you the concept.
Okay, so what sort of, a grapefruit size wit, what sort of, I know you're still in development stages, so everything's expensive to produce, but in mass production, what do you imagine the cost of a grapefruit-sized wit to cost?
Now, that's a difficult one because we have... I mean, I would think it's going to be on the same price range as the solar panels or the wind turbines. It's not going to be any more expensive. It's going to be in a very comparable price to the technologies that are already out there. So it's going to be an affordable price. That I wouldn't. I would love to hand on heart give you a price, but it
no,
would
just,
be.
I'm just yeah. a ballpark. I was wondering whether yeah. it was going to be tens of dollars, hundreds of dollars, or thousands.
No,
of dollars.
I think it's probably going to be maximum. I would say with everything, the very maximum would be a couple of $1,000 for a top optimized WITSAT system, and also you could actually have a scenario that. As the technology advances, people could actually be buying in and actually having updates as we constantly progress, because it's going to be like, basically, we're at the Ford Model T stage, and
right.
we actually want to get to the Jaguar stage. And I think everybody that listens will remember what the first mobile phone was actually like in comparison to now.
Yeah.
So,
it was a bloody brick.
That's exactly people walking about with a brick. So our aim is to get the technology out there and constantly progress to get it the best it can possibly be.
So how long have you been testing the whip?
Okay, right. Martin, as I say, built the very first one 6 years ago in his workshop.
Right.
Nobody believed him. Absolutely nobody believed him. So we then did the feasibility. We then did marketing. We then built a unit. We then tested it. We were absolutely confident that it would do exactly what we said it would do. We then started, as you said, you remember you said earlier about winning awards. We won awards. We've actually won the awards. We're advancing. We're talking to some very large companies. What we need now is that quantum leap. We need guys that you relate to all the time to buy in and say, okay, I can see this. I can see this as an exciting, brand new solution in energy harvesting. We need that quantum leap. Now, it can be investment, it can be licensing, it can be a range of things, it could be collaboration. All we know is we've got a strong team, we want to increase the team, we want to get people that want to buy in and are as passionate as we are. So that's the call. That's the call.
So how efficient is the unit?
Okay, it's the same as a transmission in your car. If you look at a transmission in your car, you don't go out and open your engine and have a look at it.
Yep.
It's the principle's the same. It should have at least 3-year life without any problems whatsoever. It's basically all of the components are transmission components. So it should have a long life. In the environment of to do with anything in water, it will be completely sealed to the elements.
Sure.
Everything else that's out there that's trying to harvest energy in waves have blades, and blades are not very good because they get smashed up. You get really rough weather and components get smashed to bits. Our solution is a sealed, elegant solution in that environment.
Well, one of the things that I found interesting is you've talked about its applications in the military for example. Yep. Tell us how it would work for the military.
Okay. Basically, the very first introduction we had to this was about 2 years ago, and we attended a Ministry of Defence event in London. And basically, we were staggered to find out that an average soldier carries 11 kilos of batteries in his backpack.
Ridiculous.
Now, that can be it's an awesome, awesome amount of batteries that he picks up from stores to go out on, say, a five-day manoeuvre. Now, that's an exceptional heat. It can be 40 degrees with all of their uniform on, and then everything else that goes into the backpack. So basically, the DOD and the Ministry of Defence are both anxious to find a solution to greatly reduce the 11 kilos of batteries down to about probably 1 kilo. Now, they are looking for a solution of about 4 watts of power and something a bit heavier to collect 10 watts of power. We believe that we can optimise the WIP to be a solution for them. We absolutely assure we can provide this solution for that type of sector. But we can't do it alone. We need to do it with someone that is already in that sector, that already has a presence and is established working in with the Department of Defence or working with the Ministry of Defence. Both of these people are actively looking for a solution. And the actual optimising it for the dismounted soldier will then enhance it ready for the ordinary Joe public to have it as an energy harvesting device to charge their mobile phones.
So is the WIP round, or square, or oblong? Or
we've actually got the first tennis ball one. It's exactly a tennis ball. The one that would be probably to walk about on a key fob or on your handbag or anything like that would probably be the shape of an egg. And it'll be quite elegant. It'll be quite a chic little thing to have. It could be the new in thing that kids need to have a whip, you know, and they jump up and down when they've spent too long chatting to their friends on the phone. So it's going to be a very elegant bit of kit. It's going to be the whip. You need a whip. Don't be a twit. Use a whip.
That's good. I like that. So what's the reaction of the military to what they've seen of the whip?
I think they are very, very interested. We've had some very serious calls, but I do think we are what we are. We're an SME with a very exciting technology, but we need to engage with a big enough player to actually make this happen. Because everybody knows that there's so many things that you have to do to get into that sort of market. You know, it has to be robust. It has to be fit for purpose. It has to be able to do the job and do it very well. And we can do that. We can do that without a shadow of a doubt. But we do need a company that's already in that sector to actually help us.
Okay. I went and did a bit of research and I found shiptechnology.com, which is an influential publication for the ship industry. And on their front page, they wrote, "The WIT is an energy halving device capable of capturing all chaotic motion and turning it into usable power. It could be used on all commercial ships in the relatively near future to increase efficiency and reduce dependence on fossil fuel." So I looked it up a bit further and I found that commercial shipping represents about 3% of the carbon pollution in our atmosphere. So are you talking to shipping lines and ship manufacturers and people like that?
Yes, we have. We touched on it when we were at Ocean Exchange with Wilenius Wilhelmsen, and also obviously Ocean Exchange are very interested. The biggest problem that you have in the large shipping is that, let's be honest, ships are designed to be stable. So WITs could actually, if somebody backs this, they could certainly act as ballast in the bottom of very large ships to reduce the amount of fuels that they're actually using. So instead of ballast just being huge, heavy weights, you could actually have a row from front to end of WIT systems harvesting chaotic motion as they travel and have that as a backup power so that it actually is offsetting the fuel costs. This needs to be, again, with somebody that is actually already in shipping, already established, to work with us to build systems and actually fit them and trial them in different vessels. Of course, the future, Bob, will actually be that ships will be designed with WITs in the design process from day one.
Right.
So the future will be that when you would be designing something, you would be saying, let's actually use the wet as an energy harvesting device when we actually are building the vessel. But at the minute, we can use it in shipping. We actually engaged with A&P Shipping in Falmouth, and they refurbish very, very large containers and ships and so forth. And they said we could do this as a refurbish. When a ship comes in to be refurbished, we could be fitting wicks in the vessels. So, you know, there is, I think it's a little bit further down the line because it needs a big shipping partner. But it's certainly something to investigate.
Okay. We're running out of time, so let me just see if I can summarise this a bit. The technology's proven. It's won awards all over the world. It it collects energy that like no other invention on the planet. And to move this forward now, you need either funding from a VC of some sort, you need a joint venture partner, or you need assistance in manufacturing. So, and if it's an investor, you need about $4.6 million. And so have I pretty much summed that up?
I think you've summed it up very well indeed. You've got the job.
Okay. Now, this is the very last question, very quick answer. You're very passionate about your technology. It produces great results. You've won all these awards. Industry publications are singing your praises. And yet you've got a motto that says, aim small, miss small. I don't get that. It seems to me that you should be out there doing the Muhammad Ali thing saying, I am the greatest.
Well, I am saying it, but in a very subtle way. I think the reason we say aim small, miss small is because of the diversity of the WIP, we could go off on tangents, and we mustn't do that. We must focus probably on two products, probably collecting harvest and energy from human motion for normal people and for military applications. And then secondly, marine. Marine is huge because it's a sealed, exciting, elegant solution. So that's why aim small, miss small. Instead of going off on all of the other applications that we hear about every single week, we want to stay focused on getting two different applications that are huge out there.
This is a revolutionary technology, and Murray, thank you very much for speaking with me on the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Now, to learn more about Murray, it's Murray Wickett, WICKETT, and WIT Energy, it's go to WITT-energy.com. That's WITT-energy.com. Or send me an email, bob@bobpritchard.com, and I will refer you directly to Murray. And I'll be back with more of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show on Voice America Business in just a moment.